This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX. Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer. And by Anderson Hospital, a Newsweek World's Best Hospital. Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
Let me repost this video stream. Get that out there on the Twitter.
You didn't repost it yet? What are you waiting for?
Well, it just went live like 5 seconds ago.
Oh.
57 seconds ago. Sorry.
57 seconds?
I was 57 seconds late.
Get it together, Tom.
The Facebook, on the YouTube, and on KMOX, the Odyssey app. We are everywhere. It's great to be with you with Chris Ranji. I'm Tom Ackerman. It is Monday. It is a fresh new day to talk about baseball and, oh, man, let's talk some football. What do you say, Chris? What do you say?
What is college football week. Oh,
week four.
Okay. I thought you were going to go try something else on
me. See how refreshing college football is. I want to get into this right away before anybody has any ideas of, we'll talk baseball. I promise you we're going to get into the Cardinals, but I just want to throw this out there. College football, to me, this is me speaking, and I understand that NFL is the king of all sports. College football, much more enjoyable. I enjoyed a couple of moments in the NFL yesterday. I liked the Chiefs-Eagles game for a little bit, especially the series where Mahomes threw that pass that Kelce picked off the ground, basically, and held it with one hand and was pumped. And then Mahomes ran one down into the red zone, and then Mahomes for a first down, and then Mahomes ran it in. Great sequence for the Chiefs. The other was the back and forth between the Cowboys and the Giants. That was fun. That was entertaining. A lot of mistakes in overtime. Like, geez, guys, get it together. But, you know, the 64-yard field goal by Aubrey, and then they win it. Other than that, and I could be mistaken here, I'm not one that hops around NFL games all day long. But, boy, that Sunday night game just bored me to tears. It was like a field goal fest.
It was bad.
And I'm like, how do people choose this over college football? Like, I don't, you can explain it to me, or college football fans, if you want to chime in and let me know if I'm right about this. I believe that college football is a better overall product, the entire experience, and I'm talking about the entire week from start to finish. So starting now through Saturday night's games, the lead up, the pageantry, the energy, the excitement, the rivalries, the chaos, it's just better. I don't know how the coaches, the stadiums, the fans, no offense. It's just so much better to me. And let me end my opinion with this. It could be because
the Rams aren't here.
Left St. Louis, and it took the fun out of it for me, maybe.
That's what it is.
But, man, I watched that last night. My wife was like, is this a big game? I'm like, no. This is background sound for us hanging out right now as we wrap up dinner and, you know, do some things around the house. I mean, it was just brutal. Anyway.
So, all right.
This was Falcons-Vikings, by the way.
Falcons-Vikings was a bad game. That does happen. Sometimes the Sunday night game stinks. Last week, I don't think it did. I think the Eagles-Chiefs game, pretty good. That was a pretty fun game to watch. I like NFL better. And the reason I like it better is the talent is better, and it's very clear when you watch it, especially with the quarterback play. That, to me, is everything. And, yes, there are some bad NFL quarterbacks, but the bad NFL quarterbacks are still pretty good compared to what you see in college. Look, and part of it for me, I'm the opposite. I don't really have a big-time college football program that I really truly follow. My football team is Illinois State, and nobody really cares about FCS except for me. By the way, Redbirds number 4 in the country.
There you go.
Number 4.
There you go.
In the country. So I like watching it, but when you watch that, it's really obvious the difference between the quarterback play FCS all the way up to the FBS, and then the difference between that and the NFL. So for me, that's just about everything. That's why I think it is more fun. Also, the games don't last 4.5 hours. And some of these big college games, I don't know what they're doing, but those games take forever. That's part of the issue for me.
Mark points out here that the commercial breaks in TV take forever. So much downtime between plays, he says, and college football is about the fans, NFL is about TV revenue. Hey, well, make no mistake about it.
A lot of revenue in college football.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
And there are some huge contracts being thrown around from TV networks. I will say that college football, I'll do an argument, counter argument against myself. The argument against me would be what you just said. The level of play is much better in the NFL. These are the best players in the world, and you have to marvel at that. I think where I come from is that I appreciate the overall experience more than individual players. I think that fantasy football has actually taken that, and I've been playing fantasy football for, what, 25 years, 30 years probably, that you focus more on individuals in the NFL and marvel at their play, whereas in college, I think this is about, you know, LSU, Florida, Brian Kelly, the pressure on the coach to take LSU and their fans and the program where they want to be. That, to me, is more intriguing. It's more intense. I love the lead up on a college campus on a Friday that Baton Rouge, let's say, just using them as an example, knowing that the Florida game is Saturday, that Baton Rouge is electric on Friday leading into it. Minnesota, it's Minneapolis. Like, are they really ramping up for the Falcons game? You know, it's Philadelphia. The Eagles are playing a game today, but, you know, it's Philadelphia. It's a big city. There's a lot going on. College campuses, small towns that become these massive media-focused towns is very intriguing to me, and I love college football more for that reason.
You're right about that. And one of the reasons is in that college town, that's going on, is that football team. Right? So in Tuscaloosa, what the hell's going on in Tuscaloosa? Except for Alabama football. Right?
Right.
In Baton Rouge, what's going on other than LSU football? I mean, that's why people are so, and there's a ton of value in that, because that is fun when the entire town is getting behind that team, and it's a different kind of enjoyment. I think that when you watch professional sports, and there's always this argument, which I cannot stand, that in college kids care, those college kids care about the game. You think NFL players don't care?
Oh, they care.
They care a lot. It's their livelihoods, man.
Yeah.
And of course they care about it. So I think that's a lousy argument that does get tossed around. And to me, it's just the level of talent, the level of ability, stronger, faster, bigger guys playing those sports, playing and on the field. That to me is why I find it enjoyable. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to argue that a Bears fan cares less about the Bears than a Alabama fan cares about. It's the same. There's only a certain level of care you can get to. And if you love your team, then you love your team, right? It doesn't matter if it's professional or if it's college. Now, if you have a team like the Bears, they don't really seem to love you back. And therefore, it does make me want to root for something completely different. I'm considering lacrosse. Because that team, Tom, they're going to get a new stadium. They're going to build it in Arlington Heights, a suburb of Chicago. I think that they should build the new stadium in the middle of the lake so nobody can get to it, because those guys suck. And all they do is they suck the life out of me. And I want you to feel bad for me.
I do feel bad for you.
I don't feel like
and
you do.
I do, and I want you to come over to the college football side. I want you to join me.
I'm watching my Redbirds.
I want to get you a crimson jersey. I want you to root for Indiana. They have a huge game on NBC on Saturday night against Illinois, and a massive matchup in the Big Ten.
This is why you love college right now, is Indiana's good.
Indiana's good. I've always loved college, though. I loved college. I was a college football fan of Mizzou when they were terrible in the 1980s. I was an NFL fan. With the St. Louis Cardinals, we had seats in section 232. My family did, and they were not good in growing up in the 80s. Now, in the 70s, they were. In the 80s, they were just average. Occasionally, a win over Washington or Dallas, which were two big NFC East rivals. But it was really hard to be a St. Louis Cardinals fan, but I loved it. I loved NFL films, and I looked at these players as heroes, Lawrence Taylor and all these players at the time that were just larger than life, John Elway, Dan Marino. And Walter Payton. And now, you know, maybe it is because I covered the league and because the team left, and I look at it more as a business, and I just don't really look at it the same anymore. And because I'm an alum of a university that I care a lot about, yeah. that could very well be. But I'll tell you, it is fun to be either way. I'm not down on the NFL necessarily. I just found myself this last year realizing that I care less about the NFL. And I've tried to get myself into it, but I care much more about college football than I ever have. It's very interesting.
And I get that. I think that if you were a Rams fan and fully invested in that and having that ripped away from you unjustly, of course you're going to hate the league. And I don't blame people for hating the league for allowing that to happen, because it is a very lousy thing. And you know, a college team is never going to leave you. It may go into pits of despair where they're not good, you know, whatever your college team is, mm-hmm. but they're never going to leave you. That college campus is always going to be there. It's always going to be your team. NFL's a different beast. And so from that perspective, I absolutely get just being turned off by the NFL. But to listener Mark's earlier point about the NFL being about the money and college not, and to your response, college football, there are billions behind it.
And college football is certainly changing right before our eyes with yes. NIL, with revenue being shared, and with conferences changing all the time and teams joining these power conferences. It is taking a little bit more of a shape of a professional league, even though it's not. And I will give the NFL this. They have a much better playoff system. I mean, this is not even close. An incredible playoff system, actually. The envy. This is how sports should be. In fact, college football is the only one who doesn't do a true postseason tournament. They have a playoff that you kind of make and you kind of aren't sure who's going to make it, and it's still not big enough, or it's, some people think it's too big, whatever the case. I'm sorry about the Bears.
Losers. And they're no better, Tom. They got a brand new coach.
Yeah.
You've watched them. Do they look any better than last year?
No, they do not.
They look worse.
Yeah, they look bad.
Idiots.
I bring it up. It gives us a little bit of time to hold off on the Cardinals, because what happened Saturday to the Cardinals was really rough. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We will dive into baseball. I had such a good time on Saturday watching football, and then I flipped over to the Cardinals. I'm like, what? It's hard.
Yeah. The Cardinals, you know it's hard? You know it's hard, Tom?
What's that?
Knowing your season's over week two.
Chiefs are 0-2 also.
Chiefs are also 0-2, but they look very different.
Yes, they do.
They look like a team that's actually good.
There's a little Mizzou right there. Tigers taking on South Carolina Saturday night. We'll take a break when we come back. Cardinal baseball. Then John Rooney, the voice of the Cardinals, at 12:30. And much more of your comments, calls, texts on the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
The 3-2 pitch with runners at second and third in the infield. In there's a swing and a ground ball goes off the glove of Terang. Everybody's safe. A run scores. Walker crosses the plate, and it's 3-0 Cardinals. On to third, Jose Fermin.
Welcome back to the Gas House Gang with Chris Ranji, producer Matt Pajeski, Frank Ladd. I'm Tom Ackerman. Someone else pointed out that, you know, those blowout college games are no fun. And I understand that. Like, there are some games where people leave early and go back to the tailgate lots.
Mm-hmm.
And the NFL seems to be maybe closer games and people stick around. But, you know, the NFL has, what, 16 games a week? I mean, there are like 300 college games at least, right? Out there, so
yeah, if you want to watch Middle Tennessee State play football, you're well, there's more than
a lot. There are a lot. My point is, there are a lot more college games than there are NFL games, so anyway.
But you know, having 32 teams, it's just more manageable.
Yeah, I get you.
I can know what's going on, it's a little more, it's a little less. It's not so overwhelming.
I used to love the NFL too when I was a kid. Did you ever get the set of NFL pencils? Do you remember that for school?
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, but I know.
Some listeners do, but that I was so proud of them. I had a set of NFL pencils. So for school, every pencil had a different logo and name on them. They were the coolest.
No, but you know what I did have? I think it was it Starter? I don't know. I don't remember what company it was, but they had like the box that you would buy, and it had everything you needed. It had the helmet. It had the uniform, like for kids.
Yeah.
And I had a Neil Lomax uniform.
Oh, like awesome.
That's what I remember having that.
I had three jerseys as a kid. Elway, Peyton, Walter Peyton, and Neil Lomax.
Neil Lomax.
Yeah.
I don't know why I had this. I don't know why I had it, but I did.
My favorite player was Roy Green. But anyway, let's take a turn here and go to baseball. So Saturday night, let's focus on that one. Cardinals got blown out Friday by the Brewers, 8-2, and then on Saturday, they're blowing them out. It's 6-1. Cardinals are cruising. Sonny Gray is the starting pitcher in that ball game, and in the sixth inning, he walks the leadoff man. And he walked away from that game thinking, you know, I need to finish stronger in these games. I'm the starting pitcher. I need to finish stronger. And what happened was they left the door open for Milwaukee. 6-1 became 6-2. Then it became 6-4 when Romero gave up two runs in the eighth. Riley O'Brien gave up three runs in the ninth. The Cardinals ended up losing the game 9-8 in the 10th. And Kyle Leahy, who closed out the ninth, gave up the two runs in the 10th. But there was more to it. The Cardinals had a chance to add on. In the ninth inning, they had bases loaded. They ended up, they had second and third, I should say, with one out, having scored a run to make it 7-4. And then Nolan Gorman struck out. Pedro Pajes popped out, threat over. They had the bases loaded, nobody out in the 10th. Remember, you start with a runner at second base, and they only got one run out of it because, well, Herrera grounded into a double play. That scored a run.
It's
and
tough
then,
to be mad at him, though.
I know.
He's like one of their only
and he
producers.
Had a really good day. It was a triple shy of the cycle. But the Cardinals just could not finish off the Brewers, and if you don't, you are going to get beat. Milwaukee is legit. They have made the postseason. They're everything you want to be, and the Cards fell short in that ball game 9-8, came back yesterday, won 3-2.
So it's one of those that is only – it's upsetting from the perspective of this team if they had just been slightly better lately. They're a couple of games out of a wild card. With 2 weeks to go.
See, I can't go there.
You can't?
No, I won't. I won't go down that road.
Why?
Because they...
I love playing that game.
I can't play the game, and I won't do it, and I haven't done it all year. I don't think they were good enough from the get-go to be a playoff team, and I think that the 19-8 May kind of fooled everybody into thinking that they were when they really weren't.
Yeah,
they were playing over their
heads. Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
You're probably right, but still, it's hard not to be a fan, and even though you try to be as objective and level-headed as possible, it's really hard not to fan a little bit. It's hard not to, well, they're competitive right now, so then why can't they continue to be competitive? Why can't they fight for a playoff spot? It's hard not to go there.
Like I saw on Fox and you know, A.J. Pierzynski, they put the graphic up there, and I like A.J. He played here, him, played for the White Sox. He says, well, look at that. They win this game. They're three out. They're still in this. I'm like, AJ, geez. I mean, they have to be over 500 to be a playoff team, for crying out loud. I mean, what are you kidding me? They haven't lost. They haven't won a game in like a week, and they ended up losing the game. I'm like, guys.
But it is pretty incredible. Tom, they're four games under 500 and only four games out of a wild card.
I know.
That's how easy it is to make the playoffs now.
But you have to be over 500. And the only reason that anybody's involved is because the Mets completely fell apart. They finally won yesterday, but they had lost eight in a row. And so I just don't go there. Now, what I do is I have been way into this season. I don't remember a season where I was more into the day-to-day numbers and performance of players like Gorman, like Burleson, like Walker, like, you know, these players that they were given a little more quote unquote runway. And that's what I've watched. And I've tried to observe the depth that they have. And I've tried to think like Chaim Bloom in a way. Like, I just want to know, what is he like? What do they need more of? And I talked to John Mozeliak yesterday. And again, every time I say I have John Mozeliak coming up on Sports on a Sunday Morning, I get people saying, why? Why do you continue to interview him?
Who was asking you that?
And then Cardinals fans. And then it ends up being the most listened segment on the show. And my answer, of course, is he's the president of baseball operations. That's why.
Right.
And Chaim Bloom is not available yet to speak, so he's the highest ranking official to give us information on what's going on. But anyway, Mozeliak said something interesting when I asked him, what has Milwaukee done that the Cardinals haven't, and what can the Cardinals do to be more like Milwaukee? And he basically said, you've got to go become more athletic.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get players that put the ball in play, that make contact, And obviously you have to draft and develop those players. But that is the separation. Milwaukee constantly brings up players that are athletic and that hit for contact. And yep. The Cardinals have way too much swing and miss. That's me talking, not Mo, but that's basically what's going on.
I love this idea that people are asking you why you're still talking to John Mozeliak.
Well, they don't want to hear for they don't like hearing him anymore.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, he's still the...
He still is, and he will be for a couple more weeks.
Tom has MDS, Mozeliak Derangement Syndrome. Won't stop talking to John Mozeliak.
I just ask him if he wants to come on, and he says yes. So
why would you not talk? I mean,
people have Mo fatigue. That's why.
That's okay, but he's still consequential, and things are going to change.
He very much
soon
is.
Here, and I also would not expect things to change in a very, very dramatic way once the calendar flips and Chaim Bloom takes over. There's going to be some changes, but it's going to be gradual.
Oh, I think it's going to be a lot different because he will have a much different outlook and voice, and it'll just be just to hear someone else talking will be refreshing for fans. I know, well, yes, and you know, the scenes what Mo is doing is basically he has been running this major league team so that Chaim can do his job and get himself ready for what is to come here on September 29th.
But in terms of personnel, there are going to be differences. There are going to be changes. I just would not expect there to be a dramatic, oh my gosh, this is a completely different organization, a completely different team now. That's the kind of thing it's going to take a little time.
Yeah. I did also get asked, and I know I'm going to talk about Genesis here in a second, Matt, but I wanted to mention this too. I got asked, has apathy set in, and are you feeling it at KMOX? I had one listener tweet at me, and I said, no. I said, the numbers reflect differently. This show is doing well. People are listening and watching the games. We get a lot of response about the Cardinals. People are watching from afar. I believe they will be engaged, but it is up to the Cardinals to keep them engaged and to let them know what is going on at all times. And I do think gradually you'll see people back in the seats at Busch Stadium, but they're there. I assure you that it's been too long of a history for them to just walk away, but they have disengaged from going to the games.
And it won't take very long to bring them back once the team is moving in the right direction. They have to feel confident the team is moving in the right direction.
That's the hope. That's the hope, and I believe in the fans. I do. I think I understand. I feel like I understand what they're doing, and that they certainly know the game. There, no one can ever say the Cardinals fans don't know ball. I mean, they know the game, and they're just different. It's just they're unique.
Now the John Rooney Conversation on KMOX, sponsored by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and if you're a Missourian, we're for you.
We say welcome back home, John Rooney, the voice of the Cardinals, with us on KMOX. Hi, John.
Hi, Tom. How are you today?
Doing great. Just a quick little visit with you just to say hello, and also one more homestand. You know, it's the Cardinals, it's the Reds, but I wanted to bring this up first. The Roberto Clemente Award. Today is Roberto Clemente Day in Major League Baseball, and the award finalist from the Cardinals is Brendan Donovan. John, I don't think they could have picked a better person to represent the club.
No, I don't either, Tom. He's the real deal. And I know so many of his teammates look up to him. Great leadership qualities, and it all comes naturally. That's just who Brendan Donovan is. And if he can help somebody, and he's been very helpful, especially to service members, being in a military family, I know has made a big difference on his life, and he wants to make a difference on others. And I applaud that nomination from the Cardinals as the Roberto Clemente representative, and certainly deserving of the overall award.
You know, you always need different sorts of personalities in a clubhouse. At least that's how I see it. I think that it's, you want everybody pulling on the same rope, obviously, but you want a collection of diversity in that way. What, in your opinion, being around the Cardinals clubhouse, what sort of environment is there, and how much of it starts with the players as opposed to the manager and coaching staff?
Well, I think the clubhouse has a good feel to it. I've been in some clubhouses where they had a faction here, a faction there, and they weren't united. And I do think you have to have leaders in the clubhouse. And Brendan Donovan, certainly to me, is a leader. The way we had leadership from Albert Pujols in the past, and Yadier Molina, and Adam Wainwright, Chris Carpenter, and we're talking about guys that helped form a core that won championships. And that's what it's going to take, and it certainly takes that in any winning environment. But the situation in the clubhouse, the players, they have the responsibility to perform and to take care of things. The coach's responsibility to prepare them to get ready to play and to put them in a situation to succeed. And from what I see in most clubhouses, and I think it's a little bit different now maybe than it has been in past years, but the guys come in, they get ready, they prepare, they go to work. And if you look at that dugout when things are going well, and sometimes when they're not, games they've come back, where they pull for one another to have comebacks in games, you see what the makeup is in a clubhouse when it's right out there in front of you in the dugout.
John, one last thing for me. You just saw Seattle and Milwaukee. I really, obviously, think a lot of the Brewers and what they've done, best record in baseball, but maybe a lot of people haven't paid attention that the Mariners have taken over the AL West. They've won 9 in a row. They have a one-game lead. Just your overall impressions of those two teams and how they do what they do. I think they could both be very successful in the postseason.
I think they can, too. I was surprised Milwaukee didn't go farther last year than they did, but the Mets put an end to their season with the Alonso dramatic home run. And the Seattle team has been winning, winning, and winning. They have the starting and relief pitching that can carry them deep into October. You have to have guys who can stand up to the moment because you're seeing the best pitching from the other team when you get into postseason. And the old saying that good pitching stops good hitting, it's true. And Seattle has a lineup, though, that I think they can break through. I was just happy to see Cal Raleigh go homerless during the Cardinals series. And they did a pretty good job of walking him in key spots. And I think other teams will do the same. But that leaves a lot of room for others like Rodriguez and Arozarena and those in the lineup to perform and back their pitching. I agree. I think Seattle could go a good distance. And let's see what Milwaukee does with another opportunity to get into October. They're the first in.
Lastly, John, the Reds are in town tonight. It is the first of the last two series the Cardinals will play at home. And Cincinnati is 2.5 out of a wild card spot themselves, a game under 500. This has been a competitive team. As you look back on them this season, are you surprised at how competitive they are? Or does this feel about right?
No, I'm not surprised at all, especially with their arms. And they've had injuries to their pitching, and getting a few people back has helped them. But with Terry Francona coming in there, he didn't come in there to paint. He came in there to compete and to get into the postseason. It just wasn't a rebuild that he was looking to be involved with. So I'm not as surprised at their competitive nature. And when you look at the Cardinals-Reds series the past few years, I think the Cardinals always get everybody's best effort. But the Cardinals have given their best effort right back, and there have been very competitive games.
John, can't wait to see everybody at the NBA Sportscasters Forum tomorrow. That should be a lot of fun. Appreciate you helping put that together. It's just tremendous for young broadcasters, and looking forward to seeing you at the ballpark.
Same here, Tom. Take care.
Be well. Voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney, with us on the Gas House Gang. Let's take a break. When we come back, Chris and I are really going to dig in on this baseball season and this Cardinals club, and also circle back to a couple of other things we touched on early on in the show, a little football, a little basketball, maybe not basketball. We're not ready there yet. Baseball for sure. You know who starts this week? The St. Louis Blues. Nice lid, by the way.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, I got a Blues cap on.
You do. Training camp starts Thursday. Back in a moment on KMOX. The Gas House Gang, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, SaligaHeatingandCooling.com, and by Anderson Hospital. We'll be right back.
Now, back to the Gas House Gang, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, and by Anderson Hospital on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Just found out that my Indiana Hoosiers kickoff time at Iowa on September 27th is at 2:30.
Best time to go to the dentist.
Very good. 2:30 p.m. on Peacock, which means I'll be able to sneak a look at it on my phone, on my Peacock app, so that when I'm officiating the wedding that day.
Oh, you're officiating a wedding.
I heard you did one.
I've done a couple.
Have you?
I have. I've been asked to do it now a total of five times. Four. No, wait. Four. And it's only happened twice. So one of them... This gentleman asked me to do it. The engagement did not last long. Then he asked me again. That engagement did not last long.
Oh.
And this final one did go through.
Okay.
You know, they say about the third time, you need any tips? Because I've gotten none for you. I don't know what to tell you to do.
I'll be looking at the groom. Do you take to be your lawfully wedded wife as I'm like, oh, come on. That's a penalty. I'm looking down at my phone.
Yeah, that's
actually, pass interference.
Here's what I did. I started with the objections.
Oh.
Does anybody have any objections before we get started? And then at the end, I double checked. Does anybody have any objections? No. Are you sure? And then we moved on.
Wow.
Then we did the
little drama. Did you get officially like ordained?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too. I did it online.
Yeah, you do it online.
Like the certificate's coming in the mail this week.
It's like it's I can't believe that's the process.
It's like click here.
Yeah, that's it. You give them how much money was it? Like it's a little bit of money, and then
actually,
you're just ordained.
They said it was free, and then they're like, "But if you want to be official, it's $49.99 for this package of certificates."
Did you get the package?
Of course I did. Yeah, I want the whole thing. I want the package. I want the official state of Missouri. I'm ordained.
Look, I'm just happy that I got to sign the official papers. Like the license, you know, you sign it. You sign it there.
Yeah.
And then I cannot wait until that thing becomes important later on when the couple gets a divorce.
Edwards says, you guys don't remember the mid to late 70s or the early 90s talking about the Cardinals. Edward, what are you talking about, dude? I was born in 75, so I don't know. I was not.
I remember the 90s.
I was not a fan of the mid to late 70s Cardinals, but I know plenty about them. Mm-hmm. And the early 90s, absolutely. I witnessed the whole thing. And one of those fans who grew up, what I knew growing up was the Cardinals are in the playoffs. The Cardinals are going to the World Series. They were in the World Series when I was 7, 10, and 12. So, like, it is in my brain that the Cardinals are a world championship caliber team, and that is who they're supposed to be. If you were growing up over the last 10 years since 2015 and you're a kid, you have not seen the Cardinals in the World Series, so your perception may be that they're just sort of good enough and they don't really get to the World Series. You have to be told about 04, 06, 11, and 13. That's four times they went to the World Series, winning two of them in a decade. The next decade, they started to slowly tail off, and now it's a big question mark as to what it's going to look like in the future.
I was alive for 82. Don't remember it much. Have a vague idea of it. 85 and 87 were the first, you know, really great years that I remember.
Yeah.
But we know what happened. Also, KT, who is writing in, watching us on YouTube. And you can watch the show on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, the Gas House Gang. KT says, no person with 25 home runs and none in sight. You can't win in Major League Baseball without run production. Told you this in February.
That's right.
Well, we appreciate you, KT, because we had no idea you couldn't win without run production.
Well,
yes, we knew. Look, we know that. We know that most teams that are playoff teams, not all of them, but most teams that make it to the postseason, of course, they all have to have some good pitching, but you got to have power. Most of these teams we're talking about are good power teams, good run production teams. Yeah, we're fully aware of that.
KT's been on a heater, man. KT said there might be 4,500 at the game tonight. And then Apple Turnover, which actually sounds pretty tasty, said 4,500 is too many. Remember everyone, says Apple Turnover 127. He or she is addressing everyone here. Remember everyone. So the St. Louis Cardinals organization of today does not care about us or the city. We need to support the teams that care about us, such as the St. Louis Blues. Well, first of all, that is not true.
Is that Doug Armstrong?
But the problem is, it's not true that they don't care about you or the city. The problem the Cardinals have is the perception is that they don't. And that is an issue. And so they are going to have to change that. The Cardinals could say all day long, we love St. Louis. We love this baseball town. We want to win. We love Cardinals fans. Come back. We love our fans. We love you. And that may well be true, but the perception is that there is a major disconnect there. And so they are going to have to repair that. And that does take some time, but you can start with Chaim Bloom addressing this. He will be the new face of the franchise. He's the new spokesperson and address. He's the closest thing to ownership that you have that will be speaking on a weekly basis, hopefully on my show on Sunday, but all the time about this team. It is going to be a big task of his first before he makes any baseball moves to unite this fan base, at least let them know what he is trying to accomplish.
First things first, win, and that will come. People will be back. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is win, and all you have to do is, I say all you have to, what you have to do is win and give people the idea that it is sustainable, that it's not a one-off, that, yeah, you're just going to power through this season, but, you know, maybe you're not a good playoff team, or maybe this won't happen after this season. You know, people are going to want to know that there's a longevity to what you're doing, okay, to whatever the plan is. That's number one. And I think the second thing that will help in a big way is, and first of all, people don't care how you win. They don't really care if you spend $300 million on payroll or if you spend $50, but your minor league system is incredible and you're a World Series contender. They don't care. They just want the wins, right? The other thing, however, that will get people back is when your team looks pretty good and you're maybe that one or two pieces away, maybe you are that premier free agent that's available, that you're not taking yourself out of the conversation before it starts, right? That you're saying, hey, Bryce Harper's available. We're going to make a run at him, a serious run at Bryce Harper, because we put him in right field, or we put him at first base, or whatever, right? And this team is looking great. If you tell the fans that players like that are in play for you, that's one way that they'll believe in you as an organization. So there are a couple of different ways to do it. And that's what I hope ends up happening here. I know that a lot of teams are averse to, you know, the $400 million contract or whatever it is. But a lot of times those contracts do end up paying off, especially when we're talking about players like Harper.
Mike wants to know if there are any tickets remaining. I don't know if that's tongue-in-cheek. Only six games left to see Nato potentially for the last time in the uniform. Mike, let's just say good seats are available. But you're right. It is an opportunity to see Nolan Arenado before perhaps he goes to Cooperstown at some point. This could be the last time. It could be the last time in a Cardinal uniform. I do recall last year, the Saturday game, for whatever reason, the last series of the year was packed. Right before the end of the season, the Saturday game was absolutely packed. I remember
must have been a bobblehead.
I remember because it wasn't fan appreciation either. It was just a Saturday night packed. If fans who were there would recall, but you know, I think that here's one more point I want to make before we go is that, and we'll talk to him tomorrow. I'm starting to see, and Benjamin Hockman wrote this column saying he would keep Ollie Marmol, and here's why, and people really, really got after it and said if they really want to make a change, they have to get rid of Marmol and really clean house on that staff. I don't think that's going to happen, nor do I think that that is what would bring people back. I'm not sure that people come back for a new manager and staff. I think people come back for the promise that you're going to reload this roster. Ollie has actually done a pretty good job when he has better players. This is not a campaign to bring Ollie back. I'm just speaking realistically. I don't see that happening. What I understand hearing Ollie talk about Heim sounds like they have a pretty good thing going right now. I would be surprised, very, if Ollie got let go, although I was floored when Schilt was let go. I did not see that.
There were some differences in personality there.
Yes,
though.
There were. That is not the case here.
Right. So this to me, and I know that this, that's the first thing people attack. They go after the manager if it's not going well. I think people are... they're sorely mistaken if they think changing the manager but nothing else is going to be the thing that makes them a winner. That's just not how it works. And I do believe he's done pretty well with the lineup, with the roster he's had this year to work with. I don't think people, some people do, but I don't think many people realize it. I don't think enough.
Can I just throw some out there just for fun?
I love it.
Just as a dreamer. He sure has been aggressive getting Yachty in that dugout. I'm just saying. He said he might try to do one more time. Said that on our show. Is there a way? Is there a way to toss Yachty a contract and say, hey, be in this dugout with me. Be in this dugout with Ollie. Do you think number four might stick around? I'm just throwing it out there just for fun. I'm just having fun.
Well, and think of the confidence you got to have to be able to do that.
Yeah.
If you're the manager.
I don't know, man. I don't know if it would happen or not. But that's not going to draw people back anyway.
No.
There's no walk-up. People aren't walking up to see Yadier Molina in the dugout. They want win. Dang it.
Give me a win, Tom. Tonight.
Lots of wins. Stack some wins. Cardinals and Reds tonight at 6:45. Thank you for joining us on the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
Ollie tomorrow.